What a joy it is to be here tonight. Thank you for allowing Ms. Burks and I to be a part of your 10-year anniversary. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, 10 years ago, somewhere in that time frame, you had the founder of RU come here. And I'm just kind of wondering if anybody remembers that weekend when Brother Currington came here. Raise your hand if you remember. You remember him walking on this? Oh, yeah. How about that? Now, he didn't walk up there, did he? Okay, I got a real challenge tonight then. No, just kidding. But, boy, we just enjoyed the stories and how God has used your church over the last 10 years. What a phenomenal video. You did a great job putting that video together, and we're going to use it if you'll let us and share it with others. It'll be such a blessing to them. May even show it at our national conference this year, and would love that opportunity. And we're so excited about what God's doing here at Worth Baptist Church. Now, I'm so excited tonight also to be a part of a service that includes Master's Club and children's ministries. I think there is a direct connection. I really, really do. In fact, if you're under the age of 18, I want to have you stand just for a moment, right where you are. Just everybody under 18, if you'll stand up just for a moment. Could you let Brother Burks talk to you just for a minute? I know I'm the RU guy, and I kind of travel around the world helping people with stubborn habits and addictions. But I want to encourage you tonight, because I tell you, I've heard a lot of testimonies. I'm thinking of a man right now that he heard his Sunday school teacher and his preacher and his parents tell him that marijuana was not good. Don't do that. He told me that he remembered being in church and hearing that, and then he would begin to have thoughts. Well, what's so bad about it? And then his friends would say, oh, it's not that bad. You'll enjoy it. And I'm thinking about a man named Tony that started using that just one time. And one time led to two and three, and then it led to cocaine, and then it led to an awful accident and many, 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 many problems that came after that. I'll tell you, when we first started the RU ministry, kids, can I tell you something? We started two homes, a men's home and a ladies' home, and we started those homes to bring in people that maybe had never even been to church to give them the gospel so they could get saved and so they could get baptized and so they could learn to live the Christian life. But do you know something happened? Our homes didn't fill up with people like that. Our homes filled up with people who's sitting right where you're sitting. Good Christian families and churches like this that years later, when they graduated from high school, they started skipping church and started not coming to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night or Sunday morning. And then pretty soon you can't see them at church, and they haven't been there in 10 years. In fact, their whole life has turned upside down. And then they come limping back in and needing help, and then they come into our homes. We've been doing that for the last 15 years. Today, we have just as many people that come to our homes needing help. They're sitting right where you're sitting with a good family and a good church. I want to read one more thing to you, and you can sit down. Something I carry in the back of my Bible for times like this. You see the prodigal at first feeling fit and fine. I see him at his worst feeding with the swine. You see Judas with a smile counting out his 30 coins. I see Judas after a while bursting out his loins. You see David on his throne, great to run. I see David all alone weeping for his son. You see Jacob running fast, looking gay and mod. I see him 20 years later limping back to God. You see Absalom so fair fighting to be free. I see his rebellious hair hanging from a tree. You see just Lot at the gate sharing Zoar's fame. I see Lot when it's too late sharing I'm sorry. You see just Lot at the gate, knowing fame. I see him when it's too late, sharing Zoar's shame. You see the living room of sin. I see the closet too. You get a front yard full of flowers. I see its backyard view. You only see sin when it's bright today, yet I tomorrow it's haze. You see its outer garment, yet I see its underwear. You see its deposits to behold. I its withdrawals see too. You see its white, yellow, and gold. I see its black and blue. You smell its flowers while in bloom, and I feel its thorny prick. You hear laughter loud and long. I listen to it weep. You see it when it's wide awake, and I see it when it goes to sleep. I love you with all of my heart, and I long for you to win the joy, the peace, the thrill of life that comes from fleeing sin. Thank you. You can be seated. I beg you to flee sin. I beg you to run from it. It looks pleasurable. The world makes it look fun and good. But at the end of it, it's not fun and good. It kills, it steals, it destroys, it wrecks, it ruins. When sin gets in, it gets ugly. Amen? It gets ugly. We have the privilege to see a ministry, God use a ministry to transform people's lives, serving, servants of the Lord, church members who get involved in a ministry that the local church has on a Friday night to help people overcome stubborn habits and addictions. We have to define that because many times they think, oh, that's the drug problem, that's the alcohol problem. But you know, there's a lot of people that come to our programs because they're stuck on legalized drugs. They abuse medication. They abuse painkillers. They abuse even Tylenol and things like that. And they abuse coffee and sugars, you know, because they look for a break from reality. They live in a cycle that's filled with shame and guilt and a cycle that's filled with boredom. And boy, because of that, there's so many problems. So many people do crazy things to take a break from reality. They smoke it away, they drink it away, they sniff it away, they snort it away, they shop it away, they sleep it away. And you know, an addiction is anything you continue to do even though you know it's bad for you. An addiction is anything that we do on a daily basis or weekly basis that we know is not pleasing to the Lord. In fact, the Bible has one time in the Bible we find this word addiction mentioned, and that's what I want to preach tonight. And it goes very well with this morning's message. I believe God is doing a special work here this weekend in your church. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul is writing the church of Corinth. He was a part of the beginning of the church of Corinth. And he has left that church and moved on to another mission and another opportunity. And some men in that church, as they did not have a pastor, people began to do some things they shouldn't do. And there was some habitual habits in the church that needed to be dealt with. And there was a group of men that went to find the preacher, to sit down with the preacher and ask some questions and get some counsel and some help. And that's the book of 1 Corinthians. And in the end of that book, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we find a verse here or two that he concludes this entire book. This is a phenomenal book. I love it and study it weekly. But he concludes it with verse 15. He says, I beseech you, Paul says. He says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourself unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. 10-year anniversary. I'd like to come acknowledge Worth Baptist Church and this great ministry, and we put together a little plaque for you. It says, this certificate is presented to Worth Baptist Church, Pastor Tyler Gillett and Director Earl Sides. Congratulations, 10 years of rescuing, recovering, and restoring lives in Fort Worth, Texas, presented by the RU Recovery Ministry on February 22nd, 2019. Would you join me in thanking the Lord for this church and your vision to reach not only the world, but Fort Worth, Texas, and all the surrounding areas, especially the addicts, the addicted, and the heart that your pastor has had and your former and Pastor Weaver's had. Let's thank the Lord for that tonight. Amen. Thank you so much.
This is wonderful. Let's get a picture together. And the besides, you can get one too. Come on.
There you go. Amen. Let's pray tonight, and then we'll talk about being addicted to the ministry. Father, thank you so much for this place. I pray, Lord, that you would use this message in our hearts tonight. We've enjoyed the music so much this week and the fellowship and the stories of victory. And I pray tonight you'd use this message in the life of Worth Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why do we go to church? You know, going to church is not for the sake of buildings and bodies and bucks. It's more than that. It's about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We come to worship him. We come to exalt him. We come to glorify him. And as I begin to look at this passage tonight and begin to see the only time in the Bible you see this word addicted mentioned, and it's a little different than the word that we use nowadays, but there's some similarities that we're going to show you tonight in the scriptures. But I want to show you just a little pattern leading up to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. If we can go back in our Bibles, hold your place there, but go back in your Bibles to the book of Acts for just a moment. And we're going to look at some things here in the book of Acts that was the beginning of the church of Corinth. Now, Corinth was a sinful place. It was, in the Bible days, it was Sin City. It was like our Las Vegas. It was like maybe Los Angeles and all that went on there. And there was a lot of, when you think of wickedness in that day and age, there were certain cities that stood out, and Corinth was one of those places. The hot springs would come together, and the cold springs in that place, and there was a lot of activity that was very displeasing to the Lord. And the Bible says in Acts 18, look at it, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come in Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and bought for by their occupation they were tent makers. So he talked about Priscilla and Aquila. And by the way, I'm thankful for not just those who minister in a local church, but one of the gifts of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit enables us to serve the Lord with gladness is the gift of giving, or to be able to use the resources that God has given to you to benefit the local New Testament church. I'm so thankful for those of you who do that here on a weekly basis, and you do it through your tithes, and you do it through your offerings, and then the special offering coming up this week, next weekend, the ability to, and I'll say more about it in the message today, but to send people on the foreign mission field. I've been to many, many foreign countries representing RU. And I tell you, I wished I had 10 lives to live. I would live it on some of those mission fields. I love the Philippines, and I love Bolivia and many, many other countries. And part of my heart stayed there, and there's such a need there for missionaries. But I read this, and I began to see that Paul partnered with people like that for the work of the ministry. I want to thank you for being a partner. and using, giving your all on the altar to the Lord for his use. We see that here in the passage. Then he says in verse number four, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Paul had a custom of going to the synagogues. You can find that as all through the book of Acts. When Paul would go to a place, he would go to the synagogues and he would start there, oftentimes in the planting of churches. Verse 5, and Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified of the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. Now, Paul, everywhere he went, people wanted to kiss him or kill him. That's the way it was. I mean, he'd been stoned already. I mean, he'd been to a place called Thessalonica, and it didn't go real well over there. And then he went to Berea. That wasn't bad. That was a good experience. He comes to Corinth now, and he's in the synagogue, and he's preaching Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified. And, man, they want to kill him. They don't want to have nothing to do with that. And so he goes to the door of the church that day, door to the synagogue, and shakes his garment and says, I'm done. I'm going to Gentiles. Fool you on this, you know? But I want you to notice what happened, verse number seven. He departed thence and entered a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard fast of the synagogue, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Oh, man. Isn't that what church is all about? Amen? Seeing people saved, seeing people baptized, seeing people follow the Lord in discipleship and learning and growing in the Lord. I know that's our goal in RU. I tell people all the time, RU is nothing more than a Matthew 28, 19, and 20 ministry to get people saved, see them get baptized, and see them continually follow the Lord and serve the Lord. I tell you, I really believe with all my heart that somehow the personalities of addicted people, and some people call it addictive personality, I tell you, I think the devil realizes there's some people that if God gets a hold of them, the influence they can have for the kingdom of heaven instead of the devil's kingdom is great, and I think that's why he goes after them. I think that's why he seeks them out. I think that's why he searches them out. I can't tell you the number of people in the years that have gone by that have said, Brother Burks, I felt God's call on my life to be a preacher, and I ran from God. And man, they've done some terrible, terrible things. I got in my drawer at the office, I got a drawer filled with letters that I've gotten from men and even women that were talking about doing some terrible things in our nation. I'm talking about some mass suicide stuff or mass killing stuff. And they said, boy, I'm thankful to God that I walked into an RU program and God changed my life. And now I'm serving in a local church, or now I'm on the mission field, or now I'm a pastor of a church and God's using me. And thanks be to God. Amen. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner and reach down in the miry clay and set him free. Boy, I tell you, as I see this unfold, Paul's, but I want you to notice verse 9. He spake to the Lord, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and behold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Amen. Now go to 1 Corinthians and let me show you something here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. He writes this book. He's been gone for quite a while. These men come find the preacher because of these problems. And Paul sits and writes this letter. And then they bring this letter back with them to the church of Corinth. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because there's a name that we've already heard in chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1,
Look, if you will, at verse 16. Chapter number 1, verse 16. That's what I mean. I'm in 2 Corinthians. That's my problem. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 16. Look what the Bible says here. It says, and I baptize also the household of, what's the next word, class? Stephanas. Now, go over to chapter number 6 of 1 Corinthians, and let's see how Paul began this church in Corinth. He's writing this church back, and he says in chapter 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Fornicators, that's the word porneia, where we get our word pornography from, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, that's the word kleptos, somebody who's a thief, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you. I gotta be honest with you. When I read this and hear about this family called the Stephanas family, I got a sneaking suspicion one of these days when I get to heaven, Mr. Stephanas is going to be one of those things on the list right there. I really, really believe that Paul ministered in such a way like your church is ministering to help the hurting and help those who are down and out and help those who are addicted. And I believe one of those guys was Stephanas and the household of Stephanas that we read a little while ago. Now they're addicted to the ministry. They're serving the Lord. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen? Amen? Now let's go tonight as we conclude and let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And I want to give us tonight some things to meditate on in this message. I think it's a perfect setting tonight between RU and the Master's Club and what your preacher preached on this morning, because I want to talk to you about that subject about being addicted to the ministry. I want to talk to you about this entire thing, an idea that every member ought to be a minister. Amen? The word minister, the word a minister is the word servant or serving. So every one of us ought to be serving in some capacity to the Lord. Amen? Boy, he wanted us to get saved. He wanted us to get baptized. And then he wants us to get plugged into ministry opportunities through and in the local New Testament church. And I believe that goes for people that maybe they come to church because somebody invited them, or maybe they come because their parents used to go here, or maybe you come because you're like Stephanas or somebody that come in through the RU program. Our goal is to get them serving the Lord with gladness. Amen. I was telling the preacher today about a story in Bridgeport, Michigan. We've got a great RU there with Dr. R.B. Willett. And the story, one of the things we do in RU is we try to get people to serve on Friday night. In fact, Dr. Willett said anybody can serve in our church. On Friday night we have all kind of jobs. In fact, when I go back home, I just took over our local chapter there on Friday night, and I'm going to be building that up. And last week I had a meeting with the head usher of RU, and I told him, I said, we want serving people to do ushers, to be the ushers on Friday night. And I said, they don't have to be a member of the church. They don't have to be perfect yet on Friday night. But we want to give them opportunity for them to come and get doing something, serving. But then maybe later on as they become members of the church, they get saved and get baptized and become members, then they can take a leadership position in the church. And that's a little different, serving positions and leadership positions. And I encourage every church to define what those mean so that people can understand how they can get plugged in, whether they're just doing some simple jobs and simply serving. But that those things are very, very important to the Lord, as well as the leadership type positions. And there was a couple that came into that chapter in Bridgeport, Michigan, and they got saved, both of them, and they got baptized, and they started going through the RU books, and man, God began to clean up the outside. He began to change the outside. And they began to get excited, and they started serving in some different ways on Sunday, on Friday nights. They come and empty the trash. They would come and maybe set the chairs up in the second talk groups, and or maybe fix the rooms after class. And they had jobs that they did on Friday night, and they served. But then the day came when they kept hearing the pastor talk about the bus ministry and how we need bus captains and the importance of a bus captain. And they went to see Brother Scott, the director, and said, "Scott, we believe the Lord maybe wants us to be a bus captain. And my wife and I, do you think that's possible? Or who do we talk to about that?" And Scott said, "Well, let's pray about it this week, and I'll get with you next week on it. But let's spend a week to pray about it." So Scott went and told the pastor. He said, "Pastor, you know the couple." He named their name. He said, "They've been in our church almost a year now. They're going through the RU program. They finished a stronghold. They're growing. They're developing. And they serve already, but they're not in leadership in our church, but they want to be. They want to be a bus captain." And Brother Willett said, "Is there anything keeping them from being a bus captain?" And Brother Scott said, "Yeah, Pastor, there's one thing. They both have a stud in their tongue. They got a tongue ring right there." And both of them had, the husband and the wife. And Brother Willett got a grin on his face. He said, "Yeah, maybe." He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "You take that guy soul winning, you take him out on your bus route, and you show him the ropes, and right in the middle, just pull the car over and ask him, say, 'Hey, what is this all about? You and your wife have one, and I don't quite understand it. I've never had jewelry in my tongue or nose.'" Or, and he said, I just, "Tell me about it." And the guy said, "Oh, this." He said, "Pastor," he said, When my wife and I got married, we didn't get the traditional wedding rings. We got tongue rings." Oh, no. I mean, Scott's thinking, "What am I going to say now? This is not just jewelry. This is a symbol. You know, this is like my wedding ring." But before Scott could say another word, you know what that man said? He said, "Preacher, don't worry about it. God convicted us of that several months ago. And we've been putting money in the bank and saving money. We've already got our rings picked out." And he says, "We're going to be getting those our next paycheck. And we're getting these cut out and getting real rings put on." Amen. Man, that's called transformation. From the inside out, things begin to change. Amen. You know, today there are a couple in that church now that have their own bus route, bringing children to church every Sunday, filling that bus up and serving the Lord. Now, there's some things I want you to notice about this, and you can write them down. I think they'd be helpful to you. But I want to show you this passage about in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and make a few applications about ministry. Because he who dies with the most toys does not win, okay? It's he who has the dirtiest towel wins. The one that serves, they're the ones that win. To be servants of the Lord. Now, look, if you will, at this passage, and let's see what it says. It says in chapter 16, verse 15, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas." You know. Number one, write this down. Their ministry was obvious. You know. I mean, Paul writes this letter back to the church, and they're reading this letter. He says, "You know the household of Stephanas." Their ministry was obvious. They served the Lord, and it was obvious that they served the Lord. Amen? Our ministry for the Lord ought to be obvious. You know, as much as possible, it ought to be obvious. When people serve the Lord, other people are going to find out about it. My neighbor doesn't go to our church. We're begging the Lord to have him go to our church, and he claims to be saved, but not so sure, and we're trying to get him the gospel. And he said, you know, several occasions over there sitting on his car talking to him, he says, "You know, I learned a lot about the Burks family." I said, "Really?" He said, "Oh, yeah." Sitting over here looking out of my window and leaning up against my car. He said, "I learned a lot about Miss Burks and Mr. Burks and the Burks kids." And he said, I said, "What do you learn about us?" He said, I learned that you guys are faithful, man. Y'all go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He said, I watch. He said, I can set my clock by you guys going to church. I said, yeah, my wife leaves 2 minutes before she has to be there. You know, no, just kidding. But you know, our ministry ought to be obvious. If I asked you to take a piece of paper tonight that's in the pew and in the back of the seat there and fill it out and put the names of the, put just one or two names of people in your church that you say, man, those people serve. Just write their names down. I promise you, in this size church, or like your preacher said this morning, a smaller church or larger church, if everybody did that and we collected those cards, you know what we'd find out? There'd be a lot of repeated names on it. But the real question would be, would your name be on it? Would your name be on it? Because every member ought to be a minister. And their ministry was obvious. They ministered to the Lord. I want you to notice something else here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, ye know the household of Stephanas, that, don't you notice, the household of Stephanas. Just wouldn't Mr. Stephanas, it was, number two, write this down, their ministry was plural. Not only was it obvious, it was plural. Mr. Stephanas, Mrs. Stephanas, and the Stephanas kids served the Lord together. Amen. I like that. You don't know how much joy I had in my heart sitting right there this morning when your pastor was talking about this offering for next week. And he says, you know, if you want to go as a family, our church wants to help you. We want to pay 20% of your flight. Is that what it is? You know, I like that. Amen. I want to stand and clap because we ought to serve the Lord together. We ought to serve the Lord together. My kids grew up. My oldest was 11 when we went to Rockford. And boy, they grew up going to RU. I guess Josh started going to RU when he was 8 or 9 years old. And I never forget little Caleb. We left North Love Baptist Church one Friday night. And we encouraged them not to smoke in the buildings. And years ago, we had to do that. And then when they have to smoke outside, we tell them to go up by the parking lot on the right side or the left side by the buses. And we encourage them to go away from the building to smoke. But sometimes it gets cold up there, and some of the visitors will slip out right in the edge of the door. And I never forget, we were walking out as a family on Friday night, going to our car after RU. And Caleb walks out, and the cloud of smoke, you know, and he breathes it. Mom, Dad, what's that, you know? And he wasn't expecting that outside the front door of the church. We could, come on, Caleb, just come on, keep walking, you know? I'm so glad my three kids grew up serving the Lord. I'm so glad they learned what it was to go soul winning, visiting. I'm glad that my daughter now is a Sunday school teacher in our church. I'm so thankful that our oldest son is a pastor and preached today to about 1,000 people in his church. We ought to serve the Lord together. Amen. I challenge you couples, you young couples, with those little children beside you, serve the Lord together. Take them to make visits. We had a chapter. What is the name of that magazine that RU was in recently? Taste of Home magazine. Anybody ever seen that before? Yeah, RU was in that. I couldn't believe it. I could think of 10 other magazines we'd be in before the Taste of Home, you know? But we was in the Taste of Home magazine. Because one of our chapters started putting together little baggies, a gallon bag, Ziploc bag, and they would put a couple little small waters in there. They put some non-perishable food in there. They put some tissues in there, and some toothpaste and toothbrush in there. And they had a little bag, and they'd make every month, they'd make 15 of these things, and they give them to the police department. And they say, hey, when you run across somebody that you got to move along or somebody you arrest that they need a little snack or some encouragement, we want to help our police force. And they make these up and they give them to, And you know what? They wrote them up and said, man, how helpful this has been to our police officers and how it's calmed situations while they've been out on the road. And that church is serving. And that church, I talked to the director about it. He said, oh, Brother Birch, this is one of the best things we do. He said, we got several families in our church. They come together on a Monday night. They get all that stuff, and they put it all together, and then we pray over it, and they pick a different family every month to take that stuff down to the police department and drop it off and greet the people there that are going to be using it. You know, there's so many opportunities to serve the Lord. Amen? You just started a prison ministry, right? Does the church know that yet? And man, that's going to be an RU class. That's going to be a great opportunity. I challenge the director. Hey, don't go in there just to minister to the addicted. Don't go in there just to minister to the inmates. Because I tell you, the prison officers in there, the guards in there, boy, I tell you, the suicide rate of those folks and the divorce rate of that particular job is astronomical across our country. And boy, you please, when you go in there and minister, you minister to them. You bring them some brownies. I said, boy, if you could get your church to make a plate of brownies and just every time you go in there, or at least once a month, hey, Worth Baptist Church, we want to bring something to you, and we want to let you know we love you, we're praying for you. You know what? I told him, I said, I bet you if you start doing that in 6 months, you'll have officers visit your church. You really will. Every member ought to be a minister. Serving the Lord in some, their ministry was obvious. Their ministry was plural. They did it together. They served together. Number three, look at our passage. You know the household of Stephanas. That is the first fruits of Achaia. Their ministry was tenured. It was the first fruits of Achaia. Paul baptized this family and they grew and they served and they got busy serving the Lord and they were one of the first. I want to remind us tonight that RU is not an easy ministry. And my hat goes off and I praise the Lord for all the workers of RU. A poem was written. It says, when your converts break your heart, get back to work. When your chapter falls apart, get back to work. When RU is just no fun and no challenges are being done, and away you'd like to run, get back to work. When your student is a crook, when your only car they took, when your counsel group's unkind, and the disciples rob you blind, and no peace or joy you find, get back to work. When your church just doesn't care, and when no one your load will share, when the burdens large have grown, and no love or grace are shown, and you think you're all alone, just get back to work. When each day brings more bad news, when your counsel they refuse, when your wife for you won't cook, and church folks give you dirty looks, and your phone rings off the hook, just get back to work. When you've had all you can take, when your spirit seems to break, when you struggle neath your cross and all your gains have turned to loss and you'd like to just say, no moss, get back to work. When you truly like to quit, and when you're mad enough to spit, and when the ministry is tough, and the road ahead looks rough, and you've really had enough, just get back to work. Strength will come with each new day. You'll reap if you faithfully stay. Victory is on the way. Answers come to those who pray. Faithful service he'll repay. Just get back to work. Souls are perishing each hour. God can save them by his power. Faithful servants in their place still are strengthened by his grace. If by faith we run the race, get back to work. Harvest fields we still can reap. God's commission we must keep. Lost souls we must seek to win. Rescue them from hell and sin. Bringing the hurting in, get back to work. Labor's our calling now, till all knees before him bow. Rest comes on the other side, once we cross the swelling tide, till in heaven we all abide. Until then, let's just get back to work. Amen. Their ministry was obvious. Their ministry was plural. Their ministry was tenured.
Let me give you the fourth one. Their ministry was continual. That's where we get the term addicted to the ministry. That word addicted, it's mentioned again in Luke chapter 7, verse 8. It's a different word. It was a man that was set under authority. Same word translated, set, is the same word here translated, addicted. It's someone that has determined. It's someone that understands an appointment that he has. It's someone that understood that I have been created for an appointment. God's got a purpose for my life, and there's some way that I can serve the Lord. Amen. Their ministry was continual, around the clock. Just kept serving the Lord. I want you to notice number five. Their ministry was worthy of leadership. Look what it says at the end of verse 16. That ye submit yourself unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us in labor. It says that you submit yourself to such. You know, the day comes when there's some position, there's an opportunity now because somebody has moved on, or somebody moved to the mission field, or somebody passed away. There's an opportunity for, well, we need a leader in that area. You know, the best place to find leaders is the servants. The servers, those people that were just faithful doing what God called them to do, serving the Lord, they become the leader. And Paul says to these folks, he says, I want you to submit yourself unto such. Submit yourself to them. Follow them. They're leaders now. They've got leadership positions in the church now. How do you get that? You get it by serving. Amen? Just faithfully serving the Lord. It's a wonderful blessing of mine to have seen men that came to RU, that got saved, got baptized, gave up their addiction, and truly got addicted to the ministry. We've got a man that's about 30 minutes from our church that pastors another church that was true in his life. Joel Sharp, serving the Lord. Johnny Wilt has been in our chapter for many years now, as the RU director. This is his last Sunday in our church. He came in as a drug addict. He came in on heroin and other things like that. And God changed his life. He went to Bible college. He married one of our deacon's daughters. And he was serving in another church there where he went to school, a college. And then they moved to Rockford. And he's been the RU director for 4 years there. And you know, God just called him to be a pastor in Pensacola, Florida. He's serving the Lord. God's using him in leadership ways now. I wonder what you stood in the room right here. God's asking you to get involved serving the Lord. Amen? And maybe somebody that's serving, as you continually grow and transform, would even pray, God, could you use me to be a leader in some capacity? Some ministry like this? Their ministry was continual. Their ministry was worthy of leadership. There's one other thing. I want you to look at verse 16. He says, I want you to submit yourself unto such and to everyone that helpeth us. And what's the next word? Laboreth. Oh boy, their ministry was hard work. Amen? We just have to understand that. Any serving is hard work. Showing up, being faithful. Whether it's the nursery, whether it's the children's ministries, whether it's RU, whether it's cleaning the church, there's no job, a little job for God. If God's business is the greatest business in all the world, then everyone that serves in God's business, the local church, every position is important. Amen? Every position is important. Their ministry was hard work. It's hard work picking up people for Friday night. But Mr. and Ms. Dre in Rockford, Illinois have done a phenomenal job of it. And many, many others. There's one other thing. Look at verse number 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Archaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have... What's the next word? Not only was it hard work, but ministry...
double ministry is needed from some people because others wouldn't do it. You know what double ministry is, don't you? It's that critical eye that some people give because, oh, they're doing everything. You know, she's the secretary in the church, and she's leading master club singing, and he's doing this and this, and she's doing this, this, and this. And we if we're not careful, we start looking at people who are serving in multiple ways in the church. I got news for you. The reason that happens is because this verse right here, because some people won't serve. Some people won't sign up for the nursery. Some people won't sign up to help security. Some people won't sign up to help with audio video. Some people won't sign up to sing in the choir, and you ought to be glad some don't. Their ministry was needed. Their double ministry was needed because some people wouldn't. And then I want you to notice in verse 18, Paul says, these people all refresh me. Their ministry was refreshing. I can tell you because I've been here since Friday, and I talk to this man at least once a month. But these men of God in this church, not just these two, but Pastor Weaver and others, I hardly ever talk to them without them talking about you. People who serve. People who sacrifice. People who give unto the Lord. I'm so glad God gave, somebody else gave for the Lord so I could get saved. Amen? I'm glad somebody named Mike Reynolds gave so I could get the gospel, so I could get baptized. I'm glad a team of people gave at Timberley Baptist Church so I could get saved, so I could be baptized, so I could be called to preach and serve the Lord. Every member ought to be a minister. Your pastor said it so well this morning. I have no idea why God wanted me to say it again tonight. I fought with him on it. There's a lot of other messages that I could have preached, but I'm confident I obeyed the Lord's leading tonight with this message. My wife can tell you that Before Friday, she knew what I was preaching tonight. Let me ask you a question. Would your name be on the list? I love the old story. When I was in Bible college, Brother Hiles was the preacher there. And I'm not going to walk up there on the pedestal, but I will reenact what I saw happened at First Baptist Church one time. Brother Hiles is preaching a message, and young people were coming to the altar to surrender to be a preacher, surrender to be a missionary. I mean, I'm not talking about a few. I'm talking about 60 and 70 men, even ladies, coming to serve the Lord in a full-time type capacity. And this one guy came down, and he was in his 90s, and he had to get help coming up on the platform. And I never forget, he whispered in Brother Howell's ear. Brother Howell's had to lean over like this, and he whispered in Brother Howell's ear. And Brother Howell's, he knelt down on the platform and he prayed for him, and then Brother Howell's had to help him up. And he got him behind the pulpit. That old man got up here. He said, I'm 92 years old, but after tonight's message, he said, I pastored for 45 of those years. He said, after that message, I'm re-enlisting. I'm re-enlisting. Oh, God, help us to re-enlist in the greatest army in the world, in the greatest purpose in the world, in the greatest business in the world, God's business. Let's stand together for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed.
There are three groups of people here tonight. Number one, those that need to be saved and leave your seat and come and let us show you how you can be saved. Number two, those of you that are serving and you're encouraged. And number three, those that need to either re-enlist or enlist. And we've heard about it tonight. Brother Johnson's going to lead us in a verse. The appeal has been made. You come. Father, use this invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Johnson's leading us in a verse tonight. You come as God is speaking to you.